Today is the 23rd day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. It's always great, always great to be in the presence of brothers and sisters, immersing ourselves in the scriptures. I guess I'd have to say this is about my favorite place to be. So, I'm grateful to be here with you today. Hopefully, we're all grateful to be here together around the global campfire, beginning a brand new, shiny, sparkly week together. And may we remember, as we so often do, it's all out in front of us, and we can make of it whatever we want. In fact, we will make of it whatever we want based on the thoughts, words, and deeds of our lives in the next coming week. And so may we go into it with open hands and grateful hearts, living into this gift of life and experience that God has given to us. And we know these sorts of things because we are taught them from the scriptures, from the Word of God. So let's turn our attention in that direction. This week, we will read from the New International Version. And of course, we'll be picking up where we left off, and that leads us back into 2 Chronicles. And right now, 2 Chronicles is chronicling the life and reign of King Solomon. So today, 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 11 through 10, verse 19. Solomon brought Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the palace he had built for her. For he said, "My wife must not live in the palace of David, king of Israel, because the places the ark of the Lord has entered are holy." On the altar of the Lord that he had built in front of the portico, Solomon sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord, according to the daily requirement for offerings commanded by Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual festivals, the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. In keeping with the ordinance of his father David, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their duties, and the Levites to lead the praise and to assist the priests according to each day's requirement. He also appointed the gatekeepers by divisions for the various gates, because this was what David, the man of God, had ordered. They did not deviate from the king's commands to the priests or to the Levites in any matter, including that of the treasuries. All Solomon's work was carried out, from the day the foundation of the temple of the Lord was laid until its completion. So the temple of the Lord was finished. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and Elat on the coast of Edom. And Hiram sent him ships commanded by his own men, sailors who knew the sea. These, with Solomon's men, sailed to Ophir and brought back 450 talents of gold, which they delivered to King Solomon. When the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. Arriving with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, as well as the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, the cupbearers in their robes, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices, and precious stones. There had never been such spices as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. The servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon brought gold from Ophir. They also brought algum wood and precious stones. The king used the algum wood to make steps for the temple of the Lord and for the royal palace, and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. Nothing like them had ever been seen in Judah. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she had brought to him. And she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. The weight of the gold that Solomon received yearly was 666 talents, not including the revenues brought in by the merchants and traders. Also, all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the territories brought gold and silver to Solomon. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each shield. He also made 300 small shields of hammered gold, with 300 shekels of gold in each shield. The king put them in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. Then the king made a great throne, covered with ivory and overlaid with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and a footstool of gold was attached to it. On both sides of the seat were armrests, with a lion standing beside each of them. 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, one at either end of each step. Nothing like it had ever been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's goblets were gold, and all the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Nothing was made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's day. The king had a fleet of trading ships manned by Hiram's servants. Once every 3 years it returned, carrying gold, silver, and ivory, and apes and baboons. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift: articles of silver and gold, and robes, weapons and spices, and horses and mules. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. He ruled over all the kings from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from all other countries. As for the other events of Solomon's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the records of Nathan the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Then he rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, succeeded him as king. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this — he was in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon — he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Come back to me in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If you will be kind to these people and please them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "The people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered them harshly, rejecting the advice of the elders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from God, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So all the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Romans 8, 9 through 25. "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Psalm 18, 16 through 36. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the devious you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet, so that my ankles do not give way. Proverbs 19:26. Whoever robs their father and drives out their mother is a child who brings shame and disgrace. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us into this brand new week. All new, all shiny, all waiting for us. And we look forward to all that you will bring to us in the scriptures in this coming week and all the things that we will have an opportunity to talk about, meditate on, and consider as the scriptures are sowed into the soil and tilled into the soil of our hearts. And so come, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you. Make the soil of our hearts fertile for your word. And may the fruit that comes from the time that we spend in the scriptures, may it grow bountifully and bubble forth out into our lives. May it be dispensed into the world, revealing your glorious love and compassion for us and everyone. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Make your word a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this next week we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Derek in Oklahoma. I'm requesting prayer for my marriage. My wife has filed for divorce, and it looks like things are moving that direction. We've had some trouble in the past. I think that she's looking to move on and not wanting to work on where we're at in our lives. I've got a lot of healing and growing to do, and I ask that you pray for me. I know my wife is a Christian and that she loves the Lord, but she seems to be running right now. I would pray that you guys would pray for her and just raise her up to the Lord in this time. Ask the Lord to convict her, to touch her heart, and to soften her heart and warm it towards me and to the Lord, and that she would be brought the right news, the right messages at the right times from the right lips. That she would be open to look at doing things God's way and to look at reconciliation. I thank you all, you guys, for being there through this hard time with me, and I love you guys, and I appreciate hearing everyone's prayers, and I pray with you. Thank you.
Hi, Dappers. This is Kay from Ohio. I just wanted to pray. I think she said her name. I don't know if she's saying Ren or friend. She didn't really give details, but she's struggling with alcoholism. And my sister, I can't say I know how you feel, but we've all had something that we had to be delivered from and give it over to God. And because you put it out in the air, it's so much easier to be free from. The devil can't hold it over your head because you've already opened it up. And you have other people praying for you. When you have the prayers of the righteous, there's nothing God can do. Can't do for you. So God, I ask that you just touch my sister in ways that she hasn't been touched before. That she will trust you like never before and totally surrender it all to you and let you do what you do best. With no help from anyone else. God, be with her. Be with her in the midnight hours when no one else is looking, when the struggle is the hardest, because no one's there to tell her no or to stop. Be with her when she sees it in the stores. God, I pray that the smell of alcohol makes her literally sick, to where she just, the thought of it makes her sick because she doesn't want the taste on her tongue. And if she gets so far as to get it on her tongue, God, that she would just regurgitate it all. And that she will pick up the word of God and the scriptures will start flowing out of her mouth. And she will be a living testimony of who you are and what you can do, God. Keep her in your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for the man who called in the July 19 podcast requesting prayer for his brother who's been released from prison after 24 years and is having trouble acclimating to society and the world around him. Dear God, I lift up this man right now into your hands. Lord God, he has been freed physically from prison, but his mind, his heart, his soul, his spirit still remains bound. Oh Lord God, still remains in chains, still remains in prisons. And Father God, I pray that he would have a supernatural encounter with you that would set him free. I pray that he would know the truth the truth of your gospel, the truth of your word, the truth of who you are, and that the truth would set him free. Lord Jesus, I pray, oh Lord God, just as this man was saying that prison in many ways becomes a safe place. Father God, I think about the people of Israel. I think about the fact that they were grumbling and complaining in the wilderness, and they kept saying, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt because there was more variety of food. There was comfort. There was the things they knew. There was everything. Even though they were enslaved and bound over there, they still wanted to go back. And I think in many ways, his brother may be experiencing that same thing because prison provided boundaries that he now no longer has. And so I pray that support would surround this brother, oh Lord God, and this man who has just been released from prison, to help him acclimate and get used to the world, but at the same time to lead him to the salvific grace of Jesus Christ, that he, O Lord God, would come to repentance of his sins, turn away from them all, and receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I pray that he would not be afraid to be vulnerable with God so that he could be set free.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. My name is Zach. I'm 21 years old. I'm in school. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. This is my first time calling, actually. I've been listening for about a couple months now, really trying to dive in, and I really enjoy what this app has to offer. I'm calling today because my grandfather, one of the most amazing people I know, a man of God, is in the hospital right now because he is battling lymphomic cancer that we just got word today that has spread all over his body, is even to the point to where it's pressing against his brain, and he's not able to talk. He's non-responsive, and this has been really, really tough on my family over the past couple weeks, and today we just got news of all this news spread, and it's really heavy on us. So I just want to ask all the prayer warriors, all the amazing people out there, God's people, to really just keep my family and my grandfather on their minds. The power of prayer is an incredible thing. I've seen it move. I know God is a way maker and he's a miracle worker. I know that he can do amazing things. So I just want to ask if you guys could pray for me and my family. That would be amazing. Anything will help. Thank you guys.